This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And we have Alex De La Portis in the studio with us today, who is who founded a dance company called Spark Productions in 2016. So how long ago was that? 3 years ago almost? At the age of 18 years old. So you are going on tour with Ariadne.
Yes.
And with 30 dancers and a 40-piece orchestra, which just sounds bonkers. I can't wait to get into the logistics of that. But tell us, at your young age, how you came to start your production company.
I just left school at 18 and wanted to do something, I think. I was a bit bored and I had quite a few skills, but I wasn't like the best at anything. So I thought, you know, I'll go to uni, but on the side, I'll start my own thing.
And had you been performing before that? Had you been performing your whole life?
Or? I've been dancing since I was two.
Okay.
And then I started choreographing more in high school, and I sort of, I don't know if you've heard of Wakakiri, but they are like a big school's dance competition, and I choreographed for that, and that was kind of where I was like, oh, I love choreographing, and I love all the parts that go into that, so like the lighting, the costume sets, all those parts as well. So I thought this is the best way to put it all together.
And how old were you when you choreographed for that?
I was year 11, so 17, and
oh
then 18.
Gosh, so yeah. You're like a prodigy. You're like a dance choreography prodigy.
quite a young achiever. Now, Alex, you were saying about starting the company, obviously, because you obviously knew you wanted to do something with dancing and choreography, and I suppose get productions out there. So how did you know that that's what you wanted to do at that age?
I don't know if I really knew. I think I still don't really know what I want to do.
It's all right. I'm almost 40. I don't either. Yeah. It's fine. It never gets better. You just keep doing stuff.
Right. Exactly. I tend to do things before I think about them. And so I just kind of went, I'll just give this a go. And we started with the Nutcracker, and it was pretty small cast, and we didn't have an orchestra the first year. We sort of just set up one show at Frankston Arts Centre and went from there. And I was just like, I love this. I want to keep going.
How do you go about just starting something like that? What is, you know, it's a big undertaking for someone who's just, you know, left uni and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to start this production company. What do you go through to do that?
I don't even know, honestly, how I got through the first year. The last couple years have been like building it up, but I was talking to my mum before I came. She brought me up here, bless her, on Mother's Day. Oh. And she's so lovely. I just went straight into it, like all roles all the time. Like it was marketing, it was choreographing, it was organizing people, rehearsal schedules, theater stuff, tech stuff. Like it was just all of that. I don't know. I just had this drive to do something. I think I don't like being bored. Mm-hmm. So just gave myself as many jobs as I could.
So it sounds like you had this sort of seed of, did you start with a production that you wanted to do first, like a performance, and then that's how it sort of all cascaded? Or
yeah. Well, the way we do it is we create like full-length dance works that are original. So the first one we did was a different take on the Nutcracker. So I kind of just took that because I was like, well, it'll be easy. It wasn't easy, but... and I thought, we'll put a World War One twist on it. And so we like made it really dark. And a lot of my dance pieces are quite sad and dark for some reason. But then from there, we've created our two dance works ago was called Shatter, and it was about the British suffragettes, and it's this huge feminist work, and like it was amazing. And then now we're doing a new work that's kind of similar, and yeah, so just kind of make our own stuff.
And we'll get to the new work in a moment, but the production company, it's all youth based, right? And why like where did that passion come from, like to keep it, you know, how did you decide who gets in and who's too old?
Yeah, well, there's controversy about this on Facebook.
Because I want to be in
I was going to say Justin's.
I want to join, but I'm too old.
Oh, no. No, well, we had to sort of set a limit. And we thought, originally I thought youth because I was a young person. And it's hard to get yourself taken seriously by older, more experienced adults. And I thought, like, what a awesome way to learn about it than just being with other youth and just making mistakes together. And honestly, I make a mistake every 5 seconds, and like, but it's great because you're learning so quickly. And so I had, you know, all these people that I recruited, and I loved working with them. And I loved that also the dancers, because they're all youth as well, they feel like they're a part of something that's just special for youth. Like, it's not often that you get to go somewhere on the weekend that's just a bunch of people that know you and love you and accept you, and you get to do fun things with them. And like, it's just so good. And it's awesome to be able to bridge the gap too between, you know, the secondary school and then tertiary. For some people don't go to tertiary for this sort of stuff. Mm. They just go straight into the industry, and it's so hard to make connections like that sometimes. And like, so this is kind of like a bridge as well for them.
And so how do you find these dancers for the productions that you're putting on? Where do they actually come from? Because some of them are, you know, as young as age 7.
Yeah, yep. Well, all of them pretty much are from the Mornington Peninsula, so that's where we're based. And they're all from local dance schools. So we don't do like dance classes or anything. They all have to be pretty capable dancers. Yep. And then they audition, and yeah, they get in that way.
So do you have a pool of people? I suppose the question is, if there are young dancers out there interested in joining, can they just contact you and join, or do they have to audition for a particular part when you have a production going on, or how
question.
Does that work?
So we do like a season. So every year we'll do an audition at the start, and then they audition to be part of the company for the full year. So we do a couple of works throughout the year. So for this year we've just done a triple bill at the meat market of contemporary works, and then we're doing a tour now, and then we're doing another full length at the end of the year, so they're sort of part of all of that.
Wow, you are a dynamo.
I think
I would have to be super young to have that level of work going on. That's incredible.
And then with this piece, there is a full orchestra that we talked about, wasn't there? So
yes.
How did that come about, working with an orchestra? How did you existing orchestra or?
No, it wasn't existing. I have pretty much been a musician myself my whole life. And my family are all musicians, and
of
I
course,
love music.
Just another string to your bow.
Another thing so casually mentioned. Oh, I'm also a musician.
I'm not like really anymore. I'm more dance, but like I've grown up around music, and I couldn't do the dance without the music. So my whole thing was always, I've got to have an orchestra. Like I just, my favourite part about seeing someone like the Australian Ballet is a bit where the orchestra is there, and you hear like the tuning, and I'd love that. And once I was part of like, just, it was not a great orchestra, but it was like a thing. I was playing flute and we did the tuning sound, and I like cried. I was so I was like so excited. So I thought, let's do it. Let's have our own.
And these are all young people in the orchestra as well?
The orchestra at the moment are all professionals. So okay. We pay them to come in and work with us. But it's really cool. Like last year we had all the kids write little notes, one person to each musician, and give them little lolly bags. And so they were all connecting on stage, and it was the cutest thing. And it was really good.
That's so cute.
Oh my God.
One thing, you know, when you're working with older dancers who they've made this their profession, they have all the time in the world to do rehearsals and stuff like that. How do you find, you know, what's a lead up time for a show that you're putting on in terms of like the rehearsal schedule? How long does that go on, and where do you find like rehearsal time to actually make it happen?
That's a good question. Sometimes we don't find rehearsal time. Like, if any of our dancers are listening, they'll know. Like, yesterday, dancers all pretty much dance on Saturdays. So I'll literally be driving around, picking them up, bringing them to another studio to do a quick half-hour rehearsal, drive them back, fit it in wherever we can, really. And, like, our main rehearsal days are Sundays. But in particular right now, for our tour, it's just, like, cram rehearsals in wherever you can.
Yeah, so tell us the story about Ariadne.
Ariadne. It's a weird name. So it's a Greek myth, and it's based on the myth of Theseus and the Minotaur. So the Minotaur is this like half man, half bull creature, and he's like imprisoned in this labyrinth on the island of Crete. And Ariadne is the princess that's kind of given the task of looking after the labyrinth and the Minotaur. And this guy, Theseus, he thinks he's a hero, and he wants to go and save all of these young tributes who are like young kids that are being sent over from Athens to die from the Minotaur. Yeah, it's like the Hunger Games. And so he goes across with the tributes, and he meets Ariadne on the way, and Ariadne decides that this is a good chance for her to get herself off the island and see the world. And so she, in the original story, she falls in love with him, and she says, I'll only help you survive if you take me off the island. But we sort of looked into that, like, nah, that's not a good enough version of events. So we changed it. So Ariadne now sees this as a chance to literally get off and leave her parents and be the person she wants to be. And she helps him escape, and she does just that. Yeah.
Amazing. And how did you, you know, that's Ariadne, you know, you're 21. How did you get into a story like that? Where did the inspiration for this production come from?
So I'm part Greek. So my beautiful Papu, he always would tell me stories like this. And I actually asked him at the start of last year when we created it, I asked him, what's your favorite story? And he's like, oh, Theseus and the Minotaur. And we actually ended up going to Greece last year, me, my brother and sister. And that was really special with just my Papu. And we went all the way, like all these places, and he kept pointing out, oh, that's where Theseus did this. And that's like, I loved the story and I loved how invested he was in it. And I just loved that there was a character like Ariadne who didn't really have a backstory, but we could give her one by guessing, you know? So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And have you travelled with a touring production this large before, or is this your first time, and what's it like? Are you terrified?
Yes, I'm terrified. We did one last year for our last show, Shatter, and we only did a 2-venue tour, so it wasn't as huge, but same idea, same amount of cast and same kind of show as well, so yeah.
That's it? Just terrified.
Okay.
I won't probe any further.
Now, you said the show is touring. Whereabouts are you going with the show?
So we're going to Bunjil Place, the Clock Tower Centre, the Alumbra Theatre in Bendigo, and the National Theatre in St Kilda.
Bunjil Place is the one. Is that the one in Narre Warren?
Yeah, beautiful theatre.
And the Clock Tower?
That's in Moonee Ponds.
Okay. Okay. And then the other place was Bendigo, did you say?
Yes.
And over what period of time are you doing all this?
So it's over about 3 weeks. So we do like a show a week. Yeah. In some of the venues, we have 2 shows.
That sounds more manageable.
Yeah.
It's not kind of like one. Yeah. Okay. So that sounds a bit
more
manageable.
Last year, we did, I don't know who let me do this, but we did like our triple bill shows 1 week of the school holidays. And the next week, we had both like tour shows like 1 day apart after that. It was crazy.
That is too much. Now, you mentioned before that this is mental health based.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it didn't really start out that way. I told my sister last year, she dances with us, and I was like, right, this one's going to be like a break year for me. I'm going to just do a story. And then I kind of went through some mental health stuff myself, and it just sort of started seeping into the work, and I didn't even really mean for it to, and just parts of that started becoming into the work. And now when you watch the work, it's completely like my story put into Ariadne, and like it can be so relatable to everyone. Like, we always have these conversations with the kids, and like the Minotaur for us represents like somebody's soul, or somebody, the part of somebody's soul that they lock away, that they don't want other people to see, the part that you're like scared of people knowing about. And you know, you put it in this labyrinth and you don't want people to see, and there's these characters called the Kerries in the show, which are like these, they're kind of like vampires, and they go around, and that's kind of like all these dark thoughts in your head. And Ariadne, she goes in and faces the Minotaur, and then in the end she actually decides to kill it. So it's like, you know, killing a part of yourself. And at the end she has to come to terms with that, and she says sorry to the Minotaur in a dream, and like she has to really learn to love herself and believe in herself. And I just, yeah, just came out like that. Just crazy.
I noticed when you're saying that the show obviously has a bit of mental health sort of focus on it, but I also noticed from that your actual production company has sort of three sets objectives, and one of them was to provide a positive mental health sort of aspect to it all. So and also the fact was, besides that, education and having a lot of young people involved, does that did the working in the company help you with the issues that you were having in regards to this piece of work, I suppose, with the mental health? Is that what you try and foster with the group?
Yeah, and I think the mental health thing, like, I mean, I'm very young, like I'm still learning about how to care for my own mental health, but like last year was probably we didn't add that part of our objectives until last year when I realised, oh, this is something that's probably important. And I would always sort of say it, but you don't really believe in something like that until you go through something yourself. Mm-hmm. And so then I was noticing other people in the company might have been going through things, and I started going, oh, okay, well, let's both care for ourselves. Like, let's think of different ways you can self-care and all these, like, different things. And that's sort of what we've brought into the company now as a result of that.
Do you feel like the show's been really therapeutic for you?
Yeah, I do actually. And revisiting it a second time is completely different. Like, because I'm in a different headspace, but also I'm seeing it now with more story than choreography. So I'm going, wow, that was me explaining this part of myself. Like, that's crazy. And like, the kids are finding things in it as well, because teenagers are going through so much, and that whole story kind of relates to them as well, which is really good for them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds revolutionary.
Thanks.
Now, the show is, the production company is called Spark Productions. So if we want to know a bit more about the production and then obviously the show, is there a website that we can go to?
It's actually sparkyouthdance.com.au. And then you can also follow us on Facebook, Spark Productions, and on Instagram, it's at Spark Youth Dance.
And is that the website for if anyone wants to book tickets for the shows coming up?
Yes.
Great.
And so that will have the whole schedule, I suppose, of your tours.
Yep.
And the show is actually called?
Ariadne.
And where's the first performance going to be here?
Bunjil Place on the 23rd of May, 7:30 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for the tour.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see it. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.